All right, if you're ready and you have your Bibles, let's open our Bibles to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 4. And there the Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice." And then in verse number 6, we see the words "in everything and with thanksgiving." And so tonight, here's what we're going to do. We're going to spend a little time looking at examples or situations wherein men were thankful. And we're going to learn a little bit about rejoicing and learn a little bit about thanksgiving. And I suppose if there's anything that is lacking, it is thanks to God. In fact, have you ever considered that in Romans chapter 1, that list of all the terrible sins of the flesh, that's a result of men not being full of thanks to God. All right, so let's go to the Bible, Old Testament, book of Nehemiah. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 11. Book of Nehemiah chapter number 11. And then we'll run some other references from there. We've heard lessons and Bible studies and sermons and on the different sacrifices. The nation of Israel is gathering together to offer sacrifices to God. Right now, we might have heard a little bit of teaching touching upon the feast days, but I suppose that in our minds, when we think of the Old Testament and think of people worshiping, what comes to mind is a dead animal burning on a fire on an altar. I mean, that tends to be our approach to what they did in those days, and we get that because we are using, for the most part, the Old Testament to support the New Testament gospel. Okay, that is, we say, well, back in the Old Testament times, they offered these animals as sacrifices, but now in the New Testament time, we have Jesus. Okay, that's true. That's true. But because that's our emphasis, just about all we ever hear about Jewish or Hebrew worship had to do with offering animals. And yet, I'm telling you, in the book of Nehemiah, book of Chronicles, some places in Samuel, and a whole lot in the book of Psalms, there are entire chapters in the Old Testament that are devoted to how people worship God and how people sing to God, how instruments are used in praising and worshiping God. And if we actually take the time to read the Old Testament carefully and pay attention to what we're reading, there's far more in the Old Testament about people gathering together to sing praises to God than there are passages about people coming to kill animals and offer them to God. So, I mean, animal sacrifice was just a very small part of what people did when they assembled together. Just like our giving our tithes and offerings in our church service is a very small part of all that we're doing when we gather together. Okay? All right. For example, the Bible teaches in the book of Leviticus about this feast day and, this feast day, that feast day, another feast day. And some of those feast days, man, they ran 8 days. They didn't get together with family and eat a meal like you do on the weekend. They got together from one Saturday and stayed all the way through the other Saturday and sang praise to God, played instruments in praise to God, heard messages about God's goodness, listened to ministers proclaim the blessings of the Lord and read from the scriptures together. And then they gave thanks to God. It was literally a camp meeting. They sat around the table and they worshiped God. They praised the Lord. It wasn't just killing animals, no. Now, wouldn't you think it's strange if you came to church and all they did was give money? I know some of you, you've been in churches where it seems like all the people do is give money, or at least they're told to give money, or they're pleaded with to give money. but you know, and I know that in this New Testament day, while we have brief moments in our worship where we sacrificially give to God, that is a very, very small part of what goes on when we assemble. All right, so let's look at this. You should be there by now. Nehemiah chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 16. Nehemiah 11, 16. The Bible says, "And Shabbethai and Jozabad of the chief of the Levites had the oversight of the outward business of the house of God. And Mattaniah, the son of Micah, the son of Zabdi, the son of Asaph, was the principal to begin the thanksgiving in prayer. And Bakbukiah, the second among his brethren, and Abda, the son of Shammua, the son of Galal, the son of Jedutha." So, here are three men identified, and their duty when the people assembled and gathered together, these men were to begin the activities to set the tone for the meeting by offering a prayer of thanksgiving to God. The whole mood of these feast days was established at the very beginning. It was to be a time of thanksgiving to God. All right, from Nehemiah, we'll look back at Philippians 4, verse number 4, where it said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." And then verse number 6, "Be careful," okay, full of care, "for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." I'm telling you, we ought to start our prayer with thanksgiving and keep thanking God. And it would surprise you to find out if we spend enough time, you know, "Thank you, God, for this. Thank you, God, for that. Thank you, God, over here. Thank you, God, over there. Thank you in the morning. Thank you in the afternoon." A lot of our prayers about, "I want, I want, I want, give me, give me, give me," they would all disappear. We would realize that God has done so much for us, and God has been so good to us, that we just need to spend a little time occupied with all the good things he's already given before we start into asking for anything more. And so this man in Nehemiah, when these people came together, he was the principal to begin the thanksgiving in prayer. Not to begin prayer, but to begin the thanksgiving in prayer. Okay, now I don't know how much you pray. I really don't. I'll bet every one of you, including me, I'll bet we'd all say we don't pray enough. But no matter how much you pray, I'm telling you, it would dramatically change your prayer life and your life as a whole if you would start thanking God instead of asking God. If we would spend our time telling God how thankful we are for what he's already done instead of tacking one more thing you want him to do to the bottom of your prayer list, it would change everything. All right, you're already in Nehemiah. Go to Nehemiah 12. Nehemiah chapter 12, and let's look at verse number 8. "Moreover, the Levites, Jeshua, Binui, Kadmiel, Sherebiah, Judah, and Mattaniah, which was over the thanksgiving, he and his brethren." Okay, now churches, good churches, active churches have a lot of outreach. They have someone who oversees maybe a jail ministry or a nursing home ministry. They have someone who oversees a Sunday school department. They have someone who oversees the visitation outreach. Okay. Well, these people in Nehemiah's day, they were so occupied with giving thanks to God that they had to have overseers to guide and direct the thanksgiving. And that tells me we're way, way short in this part of worship and praise and enjoying the Lord. I mean, wouldn't it be something to be in a place where people were so thankful and so appreciative to God that you actually had to have men, you know, instead of a music director to make sure each person got their turn to sing, you had a Thanksgiving director to line up the people who wanted to praise God and give thanks to God each time you got together. Wouldn't that be great? I'm not being critical, but I'm telling you, this is true. I've been saved a while now, you know, and that every church service I've ever been in where the preacher said, "Are there any prayer requests?" Well, the request for physical healing outnumbered requests for spiritual improvement, 50 to 1. And the number of people who want everybody to ask God to give them something outnumbered the people who wanted everyone to join them in thanking God for something he's already done. It's 100 to 1. I don't care what kind of church you're in. I don't care what the denomination or the structure of the meeting is like. I'm telling you that's just a fact. People are far more occupied with what they don't have and asking God for more than they are occupied with what they already have received and thanking God for it. And that's just a fact. You probably have seen it. If you haven't, you will. Now look at Nehemiah 12 and verse number 46. For in the days of David, okay, so this is a traditional thing. It's been going a long time. For in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chief of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God. How's that? You know what people say? They say, well, you know, these Hebrews, they used to sing those mournful songs in that minor key, sad songs, you know. I'm not buying it. I don't believe that. Not for one minute. I read in the Psalms about organs and pipes and cymbals and stringed instruments and tabrets and all these instruments offering praise to God. And I just don't believe it was all this mournful, slow, dead, funeral type music. No, I don't believe it. Now, there were songs of lamentation, but few. There were songs of mourning and despair, but not a lot. The Bible says they sang songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God. Look in the Psalms now. Psalm number 147, we'll start there. 147, verse number 7. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. Now, if you will check just about every one of those hymns that we have in our hymnal, and I'm talking about a good, biblical, God-honoring, Christian-instructing hymnal. I mean, if you'll check just about every one of those hymns, it may not be the theme of the entire hymn, but every one of them will have a line in there somewhere thanking God for some blessing bestowed upon an unworthy sinner. And that's what the Lord wants. And that's what the Lord deserves, by the way. That's what praise is. It is giving thanks to God. That's what thanksgiving is. Giving praise to God. It's saying, I am not a self-made man. I'm not a fortunate man. I'm not a privileged man. I'm not a lucky man. God blessed me. That's what it is. Come on, scrap all that humanistic talk. God blesses. We need to tell people about God so they can know God and he can bless them. And then they'll see they're not fortunate. They're not lucky. No, they're blessed by God. You say, well, brother, things aren't going too well in my life. Things aren't going too well in our church. Well, that happens. That happens. Psalm 69, look there. That's about Judas Iscariot betraying Jesus to death. That was not a happy time. And so the Bible says in Psalm 69, verse number 14, just give you some context here. Deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me and out of the deep waters. Verse 17 says, for I am in trouble. Verse 19, thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Verse 20, reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. Verse 21, they gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. What a terrible situation. What an awful place in which to find yourself. But look what the Bible says in verse 30. Same psalm, verse number 30. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Well, isn't that something? In the prophetic passage, this, of course, is Jesus describing how Judas sold him out, describing how his friends forsook him and then they fled, describing the nation that he had blessed as they cried, crucify him, crucify him. This is Jesus who's nailed to a cross, being given gall to drink, and he says, I will pray. Praise the name of God. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Isn't that incredible? Now, when we read in Philippians 4 about thanksgiving in everything and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keeping your hearts and minds, there's Jesus Christ being betrayed, being crucified, and from the depths of his heart, offering thanks to God. Amazing. Just amazing. Now, as regards these sacrifices as an act of thanksgiving to God, the Bible's very clear in Hebrews 10, the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. And the Bible's very clear in Galatians 2:16 and 17 that the deeds of the law could never justify a man in the sight of God. It's interesting when you actually read the Bible, instead of just sticking with what some preachers say about the Bible when they're trying to back up their message, you'll find that the book of Leviticus is to be very interesting. And you'll find that it lines up with the praises in the Psalms. Look, for example, Psalm 107. Psalm 107. And verse number 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Look, this call for sacrifice is an act of thanksgiving, not an attempt to buy salvation. Go to Psalm 116, if you would. Psalm 116, verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. All right, so where's the sacrifice? There's not one that's good enough, so I'll just call upon the name of the Lord. Verse 14, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. All right. Now, a sacrifice is not a big deal if you're occupied with what God has done for you. If you're trying to buy your way into heaven, well, it's pretty hard to squeeze $100 out of you then. But if God has made you a joint heir with Jesus Christ and has freely given you all things, then you say, hey, what's $100 for a God like that? Here, take two. See, it's about the starting point. The sacrifice of thanksgiving was one that was gladly and freely offered without murmuring, without complaining, and without reservation. Because after all, what was one sorry bullock when God had loosed the bonds of my sin? All right, Psalm 100, verse number 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. You know what God said? Don't start with the killing of the animals. Okay, we are looking at Old Testament now. Start with thanking me. Start with praising me. Start with singing to me. Start with an occupation with me. Don't make it about sacrifice. Make it about me, the Lord says. Psalm 95, verse number 1. Psalm 95, verse 1. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Now, every time you come to church, you have an opportunity to sing unto the Lord, even if you can't do it in a way that is what we would think to be harmonious or to be melodious or to sound good to us. But that stuff only matters to other people. But we're not singing to other people. We're singing praise to God and we're giving it all we got. If you can shout goal when you get together with your friends watching sports or something, well, we can shout empty tomb when we get together. Look at verse 2, 95 verse 2. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with songs. So I don't think it was dead, dry music that was used back in the Old Testament times. I think happy people who were happy to know the Lord sang happily and thanked God and rejoiced in God. Psalm 26, verse number 6. I will wash mine hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. So I'm telling you, it's clear to me that those animal sacrifices, they were secondary. They were given by men who loved God, men who were glad to give to God. So the key to worship, the key to the assembling was thanksgiving. Well, how about you, friends? Do you see nothing more than that offering plate? Do you see nothing more than a few dollars or a few dinars that you're called upon to give? Or is that just something that sort of is slipped in the midst of all your worship of a God who is worthy? That's just a small part, that giving. All right, Leviticus chapter 7, let's go there. Third book in the Bible, Leviticus chapter 7, verse number 11. And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes, and so forth. All right, it's pretty clear. Leviticus 22, verse 6. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, when a bullock or a sheep or a goat is brought forth, he gives the time requirements, gives the requirements for what type of animal is to be given. Verse 29, and when ye will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. Your own will. Hey, that tells me something. If God was making those people offer sacrifices to stay out of hell, it wouldn't be an offering of their own will. They would be offering or else. But God said, bring it or don't bring it. It's not going to change me. You can bring it or not bring it. I'm still going to be God on my throne. But if you get a mind to say thank you, here's the instruction regarding the bullock or the lamb or the turtle dove or the meal. It's your own free will, but it's an offering of thanksgiving. You see that? Now, I'm concerned. When we read in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice, I'm concerned because I don't do that. It bothers me. It really, really does. It bothers me that, man, God has been so good to me, and yet in large measure, I am not as genuinely and consistently thankful as I should be. That bothers me. Does it bother you that after all God has done for you, that really it takes a lot less to get you griping and complaining than it does to get you rejoicing and worshiping? I mean, let's be honest about it. And this book of Philippians, from start to finish, telling us how to deny self, to deny fleshy lusts, to deny our own personal longing for self-satisfaction and self-gratification, calls upon us to rejoice in the Lord all way, in every way, every situation, every circumstance, every trial, every trouble, every blessing, every good thing. Why is it that we find it so easy to express our discontent and so hard to express our satisfaction? It is because we are entirely too occupied with self and not occupied enough with our Lord and Savior. And you know that's true. I know that's true. But why don't we today take to heart this biblical admonition, moreover this biblical command, to rejoice in the Lord? Now, we've had joy at some time in our life. All of us have. We have enjoyed the blessings and benefits of God and the life that he provides. We all have at some time or another. What we need to do is just re-up that joy. Get our heart, our mind back to the place where we are happy with God, happy about what God has done. And we don't mind expressing it. In fact, can't help but express it. That's where we need to be, brothers and sisters. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. God is worthy. He's deserving. Amen and amen. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for reminding us that we don't thank you enough for the many blessings that you give us in our life, though we're unworthy. But Lord, you're worthy of our thanks, and we do need to praise you more. We do praise you tonight, Lord. We're thankful that you have shown us that. Where we're lacking, we pray, Lord, you help us to not forget what we've learned tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay.